Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, thank you, Dan. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you joined us again. If you didn't hear part one of Accepting Your Acceptance, which we called, Are You Hearing Voices of Rejection or God's Rhema Word, His Spoken Word, His Truth, then no worries, this program will still make sense for you. If you want to know the roots of rejection, though, and probably how it got started in your life and break the power of those initial roots, you know, and tear down the stronghold and all, you will want to go back and listen to that. But for tonight, I'd just like to welcome you. We're going to be talking about more about the defenses and fruits that keep us from believing that we're really, really unconditionally accepted in Christ. You know, make that truth seem far away, unobtainable, or not real for you. So can we start in prayer? Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just want to thank you, Father God, that it was your intention all along, maybe before creation, but at least we know since creation, to have communion with us, to walk and talk with us like Adam and Eve did in the garden, that you have always had a heart of acceptance toward us, that it has never been your heart that we would have to keep all the law in order to earn acceptance, that we would have to perform, that we would have to be on some kind of treadmill and keep a strict code of ethics to earn it, because we can't. And it has always been your heart to send Christ, or to come in the flesh as Christ and to take that burden off of us, to take all of our shame and pain and rejection and regret, guilt and all of that. It's always been your plan. We can see types and shadows of Christ on the cross all the way back in the Old Testament. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for coming, and that you knew we couldn't do it, that you want relationship with us. You want to accept us as we are, and you want us to know it. So you came in person so we could understand it and see and hear and read the biblical accounts. And now to have Christ in us, not only accepting us like way from a distance, far away, saying, go team, go, but to have Christ in us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you are our comforter and you make it real to us, especially when we quit doubting and worrying, quit believing the lies. You make it real to us that we are loved and accepted unconditionally, that we are totally forgiven, that there's nothing we can do to cause you to love us more or less, that you love us perfectly already. And if there's any problem, it's on our end, and we can choose to come into alignment with you, choose to break agreements with the lies that we were taught or were modeled or were told to us, and we can have renewed minds, restored souls, healed hearts, healed bodies, and go forward to be your love to others, to be an expression of your unconditional love to others. And however imperfect we are, then it's all the more obvious that it's Christ in us and through us. Amen? Amen. I hope if you haven't called a friend or texted them that you will right now, and let them know that we're starting part two, and it's so, so important these end times to accept your acceptance. It's so important not to limp all the way through life feeling like God doesn't love you like he does other people, and not going to bless you like he does other people. It's so important to go ahead and accept that righteousness is a gift, that you've been totally forgiven, and that God wants a healthy, happy relationship with you. God is not mad at you. And if you think you can sin so much that it's bigger than the blood of Jesus, the cross of Christ, and his redemption, then that's just kind of pride, because there's no way. You know, there's no way that anything you've done is bigger than what Christ's done, okay? So you can relax, take some deep breaths, and listen. You can listen as the Holy Spirit points out to you things that you need to renounce and come out of agreement with. If you'll make a list, just have a pen and paper tonight and make a list. I'm going to lead you in a prayer at the end, not the end of the whole program, but say 40 minutes from now or something when we get to the end of the teaching segment. I'll lead you in a prayer, and if you write down your list, run, get a pen right now, it's okay. Then when I pray the prayer, you'll know what to put in the blank that you're renouncing so that you can fully accept your acceptance, okay? So as we go, I'm going to try to hit both sides, what spirit of rejection says and what God says about your acceptance, but we need to actually pray and repent and renounce of the lies that we have believed when the enemy tried to convince us that it doesn't work for you. And hope you're friends with us by now. If not, they can also always hear it in the download in the archives. And please avail yourself of the archives. We started this radio program in 2005, but only on the Internet since 2009. But there's plenty there, as well as more in nowfaith.tv, our ministry training school online, where we have videos, audios, printed handouts, and prayers, all for free, over 4 years worth of them if you went like a class once a week. So we want you to have that. We made it for free 2 or 3 years ago, and that's because we love you. Okay, now we're beginning. Here goes our notes. We talked at the end last time about how the spirit of rejection wants to get you out of balance somehow. He wants you to either start withdrawing for fear of rejection, or maybe getting on the offense, and you're going to reject them before they reject you, or you're going to attack somehow, or be passive-aggressive and act it out, or just kind of live a little turtle lifestyle, thinking, I'm just not going to play this anymore. I'm just not going to, like I said, I'm not going to date anymore. Or maybe you're not going to try, you know, whatever it is anymore. You're just going to hide. You're going to be quiet, or you're not going to talk, or you're not going to share or feel or be real or ask. And but just as many people explode in anger. Now, I want to say that personally, I don't think it's more saintly to either to explode in anger or to hide and pretend or deny that you're angry about being rejected. But it is the most unhealthy to just act it out and not own the fact that you're angry. So if you want to hear more about that, that's in last week's program. But no matter what, the devil wants you to ultimately be disappointed in God, not just people. He wants to separate you not only from yourself and people, but also God. He wants you to be so super disappointed in God, like, why did you let this happen to me? Why didn't you give me more warning? Or that's what I used to say, and then I finally took responsibility for the fact that if I wasn't living in compromise, I could have hurt God better and I wouldn't have got rejected. But he wants you to find meaning outside of God's will. In other words, gee, God, if this is how you treat your friends, you know, now I'm not want to suggest more lies for you to believe. I just want to expose the lies that you might have heard the devil say. And he wants you to find your significance somewhere outside of God's will, either in people's opinions, in positions, in, you know, going up a ladder. Of course, that's the long ladder if you're trying to earn acceptance. But he wants you to perform, to keep a certain code of ethics, you know, follow a certain false religion. He wants you to do anything but just accept God's acceptance. And let that fill the empty spot that was left when people rejected you. See, God can work that out for good. Even if people really did reject you, treat you terrible, even abuse you, God can take those empty places, heal them, and fill them with himself. And here's kind of one of the worst-case scenarios, just so you'll be aware of it, because if you're praying for people, it won't be long before you come across people that have dissociated from their pain. It was so unbelievably horrible. Some people have not only been abused for years by their own family or neighbor or somebody they trusted, but some people were also tortured by them. Some people were born into satanic covens and experienced satanic ritual abuse. That means from age 2 on that they were included in sacrificing their own pet or other animals or even people. And it so fractured their identity that they were not only feeling rejected when they were passed around and raped and tortured every week, but they just split. Now, this is not split personality like schizophrenia. That's really not even a good nickname for it. This is dividing yourself into parts to have each part carry some function or some part of the pain or some part of the rejection or some part of your identity so that you don't go crazy. And this is what really genius, brilliant people, little children, can do. They can divide themselves into parts because one part just can't carry all that pain. Now, of course, I'm not supposed to call it satanic ritual abuse. I think the politically correct thing to say these days is just serial or ritual abuse, but repeated abuse, something like that, because Satanism is a real 501c3 now, or can be. But I'm just saying, like it is, I've had so many people come to me. Most of the people I deal with, minister to with the Restoration Prayer Ministry, the six sessions, they're mostly ministers, people that are called to ministry. Of course, I think everybody is, but so many of them have experienced horrible, horrible, horrible abuse beyond your imagination if you haven't been there. So we're talking serious rejection here. They've not only rejected them as a human being altogether, but they've split their little personality into parts so that they can program them and control them and manipulate them to do exactly what the coven wants. So for those of you that like to know about somebody that's worse off than you, you can definitely find that in SRA. They've experienced real mind control and programming. But back to the general population, which is only like 80% of the people, because 1 out of 4 have been abused, 1 out of 4 girls these days, and 1 out of 6 boys. You know, that kind of averages out to 1 out of 5 people, so that's why I'm sharing this message on really accepting your acceptance versus rejection, because there's a huge need. Another thing that the enemy does to try to fill that empty spot when you've been rejected, neglected, ignored for a long period of time is he might send along spirits that will offer to, quote, help you. And they want to help you, you know, like, excuse me, I was about to sneeze. I'm trying to suppress it. You know what I'm doing? You press your finger below your nose. Sometimes you won't sneeze. You know, the enemy will send along spirits that will help you, like saying, well, if you just medicate, become addicted, then you won't feel the pain of the rejection. Or if you become promiscuous, you know, or if you, and here's something that a lot of you aren't aware of yet, but it's huge, huge out there. He'll send along different principalities like the Kundalini, Incubus, or Succubus, but we kind of call them spirits anyway just because it's kind of how we talk, but Kundalini spirits have quite an agenda, and they take advantage of you while you're down and weak, and many of them will get you addicted to sexual experiences that are sponsored by them. I'm just going to say it that way for right now. I'm thinking about doing a whole program or the teaching part of a program to help you discern between spirits and principalities, you know, strongholds and the person, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in high places, because I'm finding that people are ignorant. You know, they just don't get teaching on this. And it'll be kind of an R-rated program. You can watch out for that and be sensitive to who you invite to it. People do need to know, but, you know, some people just don't want to. But the incubus spirit wants to have the sexual relationship with women. You can remember it because it starts with N, and the succubus spirit with men. And you can, at first, experience quite an amazing sexual experience with these spirits. I don't want to make you attracted to it, but I want you to know, if you experience something that's out of this world in a dream and all, it might be from one of these cosmic beings. And do not invite it back, ever. We're going to have a program letting you know how dangerous this is, because once you form soul ties and agreements with the devil that he's going to heal your rejection for you, you'll have a time getting rid of these things. And so this is one of the things I do, is help people get free of that. Another thing is, the enemy is going to give you a false identity. He's going to try to get you to saying, I'm the rejected, I'm no good, I'm less than, you know, I'm never going to be truly wanted, I'm not loved, I'm not lovable, or I'm not loving, or one of my personal favorites that I burst out into tears with was the one that's in the R-rated woman, Pretty Woman. R-rated movie, Pretty Woman. I guess none of you saw that R-rated movie, but back in the day, I watched it, and when the little prostitute is having a conversation with Richard Gere's character, and she tells him her story, and she says, and I was bum bait. I could so relate to that, because I felt like everybody I date turns out to be a disaster. They're all, if they're only distant, that's a good thing. Usually they turn out to be the deceiver in the bunch. And anyway, the demons are going to be on your shoulder or wherever they are, trying to tell you, you are this, you are that, that you're the problem. And you've got to learn how, even if it sounds like your accent and your voice, to know the difference between your voice and a demonic voice is trying to give you a false identity and get you saying, I am not wanted, I am rejected, I am all of these things. And you've got to learn how to tell it, that's not my thought. That's the devil. That is not my thought. Don't own it. Don't repeat after me. Just renounce it. Not my thought. And don't dwell on it. Don't focus on it. Just say, that's not my thought. If I've ever agreed with you, I renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Most High, right now. Satan doesn't even want the credit for these thoughts. See, he wants you to think it was your thought. Because then he can heap more self-condemnation on you, because you're either working against God by agreeing with him, or you'll wind up condemning yourself for when you understand that you're agreeing with the devil. So what, you know, what he's leading up to is he wants you to line up with him instead of God. But we can come back and we can command our soul to line up with our spirit that, as Romans 7 says, you know, wants to obey God, wants to be one with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We want to be joined to the Lord, aligned with him, in agreement with him. So we want to renounce everything that comes to mind, like during last week's program and this week's program, every lie that comes to your mind that you have ever thought, because lies don't expire. You know, it's not like they expire after 7 years. We need to actually repent, renounce. So just write those little lies down, and we'll renounce them in the prayer in a few minutes. And then what we can do, see, is Romans 7 says, well, what's the problem? If you look at the Greek, it doesn't say the old man is the problem, because Romans 6 already said the old man is dead. Romans 7 says, in the Greek, it says our flesh is the problem. And our flesh likes to feel sorry for itself and likes to be the victim and likes to blame other people and make other people pay or get revenge or retaliation and all those things. And the flesh can never be satisfied. It needs to be taken to the cross. We need to ask Jesus to bring it to death. And so if your flesh has been agreeing with the devil on any of the things I'm about to mention, then write it down, because Jesus said, you know, one of the reasons for his success, one of the ways that he was so clearly perfect, he said, there's nothing in me that the devil can hook into. And that's what we want. We want to be in that safe, secure place where we have renewed minds, restored souls. We're agreeing with God, and the devil can't hook us on a lie. But what the devil wants to do is to want you to either quit or try so hard to earn your acceptance that you get into legalism or something, anything, but just believing that God's already given you a gift of righteousness through the cross of Jesus Christ. Or the devil wants you to get into, say, divination, where you're thinking, well, I couldn't trust God to guide me. Look what happened. Never mind, you were in compromise already. But maybe, like me. But he wants you to say, look to the devil for guidance, for knowledge, something. You know, so you'll start going to tarot card readers or mediums or your horoscopes, things like that, for information outside of God. So we want to renounce that tonight and say that God has accepted us. He is not withholding any good thing from us. And he is, the Holy Spirit is our faithful tutor and guide. We just need to be faithful to him. Amen? But the devil will drive you to do something to make yourself into somebody after you've been rejected. You'll feel these strange urges sometimes to try so hard to be someone or to make people notice that you are someone. And it's hard to just leave it in God's hands because you're kind of on the rebound. And that's one thing I wanted to say about this whole thing tonight is that after you're severely rejected, it's like being on the rebound from a breakup or something. Thinking isn't that clear sometimes. You think you know what you're doing, but maybe your judgment isn't that good. You just really need to focus on Jesus and not be trying to promote yourself and be somebody, not trying to perform for acceptance or getting into self-sabotage. A lot of people that have grown up with kind of a backdrop of rejection in their life, maybe people didn't overtly say, we don't like you, we don't want you, we'll never choose you, you know, but they had kind of maybe a sterile atmosphere, maybe just lacking in acceptance, maybe they were treated a little bit like the stepchild. Whatever their situation was, most people seems like they either start performing for acceptance and they try to earn it, or they go into a lifestyle of self-sabotage where, for fear of rejection, they don't really achieve like they could. They become an underachiever, or they don't participate and get involved as much as they could, or they don't develop their own skills and talents and gifts as much as they could, because they just kind of feel safer, like if I don't try very hard, then I'll know why I wasn't chosen. But what I don't want is to knock myself out trying again and then be rejected. If you can relate to that, write that down, please. Other people want love. They try too hard. But no matter how much you love them, it's not enough. They're still feeling rejected. It can be very, very frustrating because you want them to accept the acceptance that you're giving them. You want them to really receive the love that you're giving them. And you want them to understand that God loves them perfect. But the devil's been telling them lies, and so they interpret things in such a way that they never seem to really receive the love you're giving them. Some people are able to accept their acceptance in Christ and to receive that And they also see acceptance everywhere they go. They have a positive, optimistic outlook, and they can see it. And that's one of the beautiful things about accepting your acceptance. You're not sensing rejection everywhere. Other people, though, feel like there's no hope, and they give up. And they begin feeling entitled to things. They think they're never going to be accepted. They're always going to be rejected. Maybe, for instance, they'll start stealing, shoplifting, breaking the rules and doing things that they wouldn't have done because they feel like, well, I'm always going to be shortchanged even by God, and I'm just going to take what I should have had. Others follow false religions. And it's crazy because only in Christ can you really receive that acceptance, that unconditional acceptance, because only in Christ do you have a perfect person who died on the cross and shed his blood so that you can have forgiveness. So only in Christ can you be totally forgiven and have any reason to believe that you're really unconditionally accepted. But when you follow a false religion, there's always some kind of treadmill of performance. There's some kind of code of ethics. You've got to do the do's and don't do the don'ts. And you've got to keep the rules. And you've got to hope that you did it good enough so that you can earn your way up their ladder to wherever it is. But Christianity isn't like that. And if it was preached that way to you, then you need to realize, check it out. You know, check it out in the Bible. Read the New Testament through and through, at least. Check it out. Go to a different church, because if it's preached to you that you've got to earn your righteousness, first of all, that self-righteousness, you can't earn righteousness as a gift. But in almost any church, you'll find people that have been rejected, that don't know how to accept their acceptance, that compete to be the most spiritual one. And, of course, it depends on what church it is, what brand it is, how that is, because some churches you have to be manifesting more things or have more gifts or speak in tongues more. And other people, you have to be the least emotional. You have to be the most dignified. Some churches, you have to work the hardest, be there every time the door is open. Other churches, you have to, you know, be the most benevolent out on the street. You know, whatever your church does, the devil wants you to force you to do it in your own strength, in your own power by works, and to compete. And these religious spirits will speak to you and say, well, you know, you can at least be the most spiritual one now. Try harder. And so you're competing to demonstrate the best gift. See, and that's the problem. That's what gets people into divination. It's because they're not satisfied with the power that the Holy Spirit is inside them and how often or how well or how much the Holy Spirit wants to work through them. They want to have the best prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, or, you know, whatever, be able to tell the future. And they get into divination. They're wide open to what the devil wanted in the first place because they're coveting the best positions. And so some people are performing for acceptance. They're perfectionists to get those best positions. Some people are very legalistic. But what we need to do is just relax and accept our acceptance and know that God isn't up in heaven cracking a whip saying, try harder. He wants just the opposite. He wants for you to quit trying to do it in your own strength and to realize that only Jesus Christ can live the Christian life, and only he can live it through you, and that's been the plan all along. So he doesn't want you jockeying for recognition, feeling like you've got to fill that void yourself by, you know, controlling, manipulating, performing so that people recognize you and appreciate you and affirm you, accept you. He doesn't want you worried about being known as the greater one instead of the lesser one, because he doesn't see you as the lesser one. He accepts you as you are, weaknesses and strengths. He designed you, and he designed you the way you are for a purpose that fits with his design. And he's not going to shortchange you, that he's giving you, and he is in you everything you need for life and godliness. You're complete in him. He's not withholding anything from you. But see, the devil will drive you to not be satisfied that you're just one of the sheep, that's loved perfectly like everybody else. He doesn't want you to just be a good team member and be able to be the leader or a follower because you're not out to prove anything. He wants you to feel like you can't just serve. I mean, you've got to have a title because you're the rejected one, and you've got to try harder. You've got to make it up this ladder. You're entitled. You've got to have a position. You've got to be recognized. You've got to be rich, famous, or something. And if you give up all those things, he says, who will you be? Now, maybe you experience rejection, but you were in a family that was rich, that was successful, that was well-known, and you've never known what it's like to just base your significance on Christ. And so you're horrified. Maybe you're horrified that you will be rejected if you're not rich or successful or well-known, and you're just one of the sheep. So somehow the devil wants you to minister out of your flesh or to succeed out of your flesh or to parent out of your flesh or to make good grades out of your flesh. Whatever it is you do, he wants you to do it out of your flesh. Why? Because he can hook into that with lies, and he can tell you try harder half the time, and the other half the time he can say you're not trying hard enough. And he can tell you've got to perform and be perfect, and the other time he can tell you that it's impossible, you can't perform enough to be perfect. And so he'll just hit you from both sides. He wants you also to have like a Pharisee attitude to grade other people, to say, well, they're going to be rejected because, or I should reject them. And you're passing the rejection cycle on. I can't accept them unconditionally. I mean, look at them. They don't look right, they don't sound right, they don't do right, they don't perform right, they don't succeed right, you know. And so he wants you to put them on that performance treadmill too and make them feel like they need the approval of men. And so many little kids are pressured to look perfect. They've got to go to the right classes, have the right sports, do the right skills. And they've got to have the best of everything, and they've got to have name brand everything and all, or you're going to be rejected. And so this spirit is passed on from the parents who maybe never knew. Maybe they were never taught that God loves us perfectly, and real love isn't based on our performance. See, reminds me of the Ayn Rand philosophy. It's like a communist philosophy that says there's no such thing as real love, much less acceptance. There's no such thing, she said, because all there is deserved appreciation. In other words, if you perform well enough, people are going to appreciate you, but that's not real love because you earned it. Well, this is the treadmill that I don't want you on. I want you to renounce all these things and receive the fact that only Jesus can forgive us. Only Jesus can give us righteousness as a gift because he's the only perfect one. We don't need the approval of man and acceptance. Once we grasp that we have been given, Romans 5 says, we've been given a robe of righteousness. It's a gift. And you can't justify yourself and make your own robe out of earning it and performing and perfection and trying harder and receive righteousness as a gift. That comes with accepting your acceptance. God is never going to accept us based on our own works. We can't do it. Jesus said if you break even one law, you know, so we've all already done that. And some people get just really more pushy and bully other people and try to make them perform. Because that's all they think there is. That's all they know. You've got to try harder. You can't shame our family. If you're a Williams, you've got to do this, this, and this. And they grow up terrified of not performing. But then other people just quit, and they go into addiction. And they're just going to zone out or numb out or stay high and or work all the time. Or play games all the time. I mean, I've known people that have lost their jobs and their families and their children because they were playing games all night on the video, on the computer. Some people make themselves sick performing. I know I wasn't consciously doing it, but I had chronic fatigue for years fibromyalgia and pain around the clock. And I believe that I wanted a father's love. My father traveled most of my life, and he was a good man, but he just wasn't there that much. And like one day a week, a lot of my life. And then I believe I came up with a hunger for a father's love, and that's a lot of you. A whole lot of you are still trying to fill the father spot in your life. And I'm trying to tell you tonight, God has promised you that he loves you perfectly, that he gives you unconditional acceptance. That doesn't mean because of the grace of God we go out and sin all the more, as in Romans 6:1. It means out of gratitude for the fact that God accepts us completely apart from our performance, that we love him and we do want to be aligned with him and agree with him and to please him. So let's just tell Jesus that we want him to take away all these feelings of being unloved or unlovable, of being rejected, and bitterroot expectations that we're going to be rejected, bitterroot judgments against the people that we've decided are going to reject us forever or always have, and the guilt that we feel for resenting them and not forgiving them or being bitter. And let's choose to live in the spiritual realm where Jesus really does wash us clean, white as snow. And though our sins were scarlet, they're now white as snow. Though in Romans 5 it says we were enemies, it also says he loved us first while we were still enemies of his. And let's just accept it. God's perfect. He's the only one that can love us like that, but he really can. Now, I want to share with you the crosswalk prayer. If you have your computer on, you can go to our website at crosswalklife.com. That's all one word, crosswalklife.com. And you can put in the search box crosswalk prayer. Now, that's three words, crosswalk prayer, and follow along with me. Or pause this, and if you're in a download, and follow along and pray along. Now, if you've made your list from the things I said last week and this week, you can do a pretty good job of renouncing all these roots and fruits of rejection. Amen? And here's the crosswalk prayer. And here's the thing. Like I've told you before, the key to getting rid of a stronghold is to ask forgiveness for yourself. It's not other people's strongholds that keep you bound up, as painful and as aggravating as they are. It's your stronghold that puts prison bars around you. So this prayer is focused on asking God to forgive us for our sinful reactions to the people that rejected us, okay, or the imagined rejection from God, or how we rejected ourselves, all right? I just want to warn you ahead of time, this isn't mostly about forgiving the other person. I'm going to assume that you can do that on your own. You could say, God, I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to choose to be willing to forgive the people that rejected me. Okay, we did that part. But this says, I have a negative pattern in my life that is not godly. I cannot get rid of it by myself. I know that a bad fruit has a bad root. And I don't want this negative pattern of... And on your own time, you can just read your whole list there of believing that I have to try harder and I have to perform and I have to earn it and I can have to attack other people before they attack me, or I have to, forgot to say this, and put walls around my heart and not let anybody in because I might be rejected. That's a lonely place to be. But say, Lord, I don't want to reap this in my own life or in the people around me. So please show me the spiritual roots of it and how to deal with my part of the problem. So we're looking at our part of the problem here. We have a stronghold because we have had sinful reactions and behaviors against the people that rejected us. I'm not saying the rejection is real. It's very real. But, Lord, do I need to confess the sins of my ancestors that they rejected me? Do I need to forgive them? Do I need to sow this did I sow rejection myself, and now I'm reaping it more and later? Did I dishonor my parents and other authorities for rejecting me? Did I judge someone with condemnation for their judgmental and rejecting attitude? Did I have bitter root expectations? Do I still that people will reject me? Did I make an inner vow, fleshly inner vow, that I'll never be open or share, ask or feel or be real or talk anymore because I might be rejected? So if we can get rid of all that, see, then you can go ahead and get on with accepting your acceptance. And that's what I want to help you do right now. Say, Lord, I recognize the reason I have a stronghold and cycles of rejection now is because I've had sinful reactions to them. So the fruit is now I'm reaping similar rejection cycles in myself and others around me according to the law of sowing and reaping. I'm beginning to get it now. It's one thing for people to treat me with rejection, but it's another thing for me to judge them and make inner vows I'll never be like them and dishonor them and start sowing rejection myself. So I repent by forgiving them, releasing them to you, the judge of all the earth. Please forgive me for judging them, for blaming you, God, for letting these people into my life, for choosing to be my parents. Forgive me, God, for sowing similar rejection myself. I'm either rejecting others or rejecting myself or rejecting you, God, and for not forgiving myself. I renounce my sinful reactions, whether I was sowing it, dishonoring people, judging people, having bitter root judgments of people or bitter root expectations they'll do it again, or I'm prideful that I'll never do it. And I please release me from reaping this crop that I sowed of my sinful reactions, my sinful behavior. Please release me from the sowing and reaping cycle. And I reckon dead on the cross all flesh that identifies with this reaction, sinful reaction, all automatic reactions that I have to reject people before they reject me, or to go ahead and sabotage the situation or the relationship so I don't have to fear rejection. I'll just won't even let it ever happen. Thank you, Jesus, to bring everything, every way that I have sowed rejection to death. Bring it to death on the cross because I cannot. And create in me a pure heart that agrees with your responses. Even when people do reject me, I don't have to receive it, and I choose to ask you to show me how to bless my enemies instead. Please resurrect your likeness into every area in me that you've had to bring to death and restore all the years that the locusts have eaten while I was disobedient. I ask you to reclaim all the spiritual blessings that I and my family have missed and to reward us for generations to come as we sow unconditional acceptance that we receive from you, as we sow it to others, as we sow grace, as we sow mercy. We don't force people to earn our acceptance or approval. We don't pressure them anymore. We rejoice that you have accepted us unconditionally. We want to be that love and acceptance to others. So any debt that we feel like people owe to us because of how they've rejected us, just going to lay all those debts on the altar. Ask you to bring everything, every desire for revenge and vengeance, vindication, retribution, all of that. Bring the whole thing to the cross. Say, Jesus, just bring the whole thing to death. You handle it from here on out. And I want to just focus on Jesus and how you died so that I could accept my acceptance. I want to focus on you, Father God, that you have this wonderful plan for my life, and you're not planning on holding things against me forever so I can't fulfill it. And I want to focus on you, Holy Spirit, who will convict me of sin, righteousness, and judgment if I need it. I can trust you to do that. I don't have to expect rejection and expect a punitive God or anything like that. I can receive my acceptance and glory in it. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. We praise your name. We thank you that acceptance is your plan. Redemption is your plan. Restoration is your plan. You're not trying to push us away. We don't have to try to push other people away anymore. We can get off that. Get out of these rejection cycles. Say, God, please, please, I bring it to the cross. I lay it on the altar. Please bring all these rejection cycles to death so that I can be totally aligned with you, totally in agreement with you. Amen? Doesn't that sound like a lot more fun? I couldn't believe it at first, but I prayed it by faith. If you'll go to crosswalklife.com, put crosswalk prayer in the search box. You can look that prayer up, and you can pray it any time you see a cycle in your flesh or hear a devil trying to get you into a downward spiral again. You can pray that prayer anytime and say, oh, God, I see this pattern coming at me. You know, I want you to bring it to death right now. Right now. Don't want it. Don't want it. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now I want to invite you all to do something tonight. I want to invite you to share a little testimony, if you've got one, I'm sure you do, about how God has shown you his unconditional acceptance. You know, that would be like when you seriously understood you did not deserve it, you hadn't earned it, couldn't be perfect, and God just amazed you by showing you his acceptance. Now, that might throw you off, so let me give you an example. I was delighted to find out that I was invited to be on Benny Hinn's prayer team. I'm not going to get into a debate with you about Benny Hinn, whether you like him or not. I was just delighted to be in an atmosphere where people expected miracles, and I knew I would see miracles. And I would get to be on the prayer teams that prayed for people 3 hours, 4 hours ahead of time. And sure enough, my partner and I prayed for somebody who'd been in a wheelchair 37 years, could only take a couple of steps without falling, and they got up and walked and danced and ran, and it stuck, it lasted, it was real. That's just one of my stories. But you know what the acceptance part is? I had really fallen that day. I had blown it, I had listened to my flesh, and I knew it. And then, you know, am I going to believe God for miracles that afternoon? Can God forgive me that quick? Can I walk in his acceptance when I have such a fresh reminder of how frail I am, how my commitment wasn't as strong as I wanted it to be, that I was still trying to get my own needs met? Yeah. Yeah, God showed me. It's not about you. It's not about your perfect performance. It's about who I am, and I am awesome love and acceptance. Woo-hoo. I'll never forget that day, because instead of going into self-deprecation all day and letting that opportunity pass by, I was able to receive God's acceptance and get on with his plan for the day and to see him work. Do one of the biggest miracles that I personally have ever prayed for. Now I'm going to encourage you to call in 917-388-4683. We have a lot of callers already, and I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear your comments or questions related to the program, related to God's acceptance, or maybe related to rejection cycles. I'll see, you know, what the Holy Spirit gives us if you ask a question. And if you have not called in the last, let's say, 2 months, if you have not called in the last 2 months, you can go ahead and push number one, and we will offer you personal prophetic ministry as well. But... Okay, now don't be shy. I'm not going to reject you. Push number one if you have a comment or a request or a question related to the subject of acceptance and rejection. especially if you haven't called in the last couple months. Well, either you're all shy or I just got my tried and true friends here that often call. Oh, don't leave me here by myself. Somebody push number one. Okay, then. Looks like I'm going to open it up to anybody. Anybody can push number one then, and we'll see what you have to share or ask. I'm going to call out your area code first, and then if you'd be kind enough to share your name and maybe city or state where you're from so we can kind of meet you. We really like that. And I'd like to welcome area code 903 to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. It's Terry in Texas.
Hi, Terry. Long time no hear.
Yes. I'm doing well, and I wanted to just thank you for your teaching tonight, and thank you for last week's teaching. I listened to that today. I downloaded it and listened to it today, and it was awesome. This is right what I needed. I mean, I've been needing this teaching for a while, so I'm so glad that you addressed this. Yeah,
well,
I have them.
Because the devil tells me, oh, people don't want to hear about that stuff. You know, get over it, go on with something else. But rejection cycles was one of my biggest problems. I know that.
Yeah, it is my biggest problem. That is true. That is true. Yeah, I mean, I have an issue with thinking of myself as the victim. That's my issue, and I'm sick of it, you know. And I prayed the crosswalk prayer with you, and I really believe I'm going to be set free from that, you know. And it's just I've had several negative experiences in my life, you know, and I feel like, poor me, you know, this is just sad that, you know, everything's happened. But, you know, I'm not that person in Christ, you know. He loves me for me, you know, and I'm a child of the King, and
yes,
I'm a victim. And, yes, those experiences happened, but they made me the person I am today.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm going to go forward, you know, with, Holy Spirit's with me tonight. Ooh. Anyway, I'm going to go forward, you know, with all these experiences behind me, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you're right.
So
you're not that person of your past. None of us are. But the accuser, the brother, wants to say, you are your past.
Absolutely.
And
I agree.
He wants other people to say, you are your past. And I'm saying, no, that person's dead.
I agree.
My old sin nature was dead, buried. And when I was baptized, saved and baptized, I was dead, buried, and I was raised to newness of life. I'm a partaker of a new nature. That person is dead. But if you're like me and you did a lot of your sins after you were saved, I did the bad stuff after, then it's still true. I can bring these things to the cross like we just prayed. Say, Jesus, bring this to death. I want to walk as a new creation. You know, I want to live out of a new nature that can be one with your nature. That's what I want.
Amen. I'm the same. I'm the same. I'm right there with you. It's just, you know, I was trying to do it in my own strength, and I can't. And that's one thing that the Lord just told me right before I got on the phone with you, that, you know, you can't do it in your own strength, you know.
That's,
and
right,
that's what I've been trying to do, and it's not. It's just
going
to keep me repeating the same cycles over and over again, you know.
Some listeners probably moaning right now, saying, God makes it so hard. He lets it be so hard. How can we possibly succeed? But see, that's just the thing. It's kind of backward sounding, but when we're trying, all we know is to live out of our own strength. God will let it be hard so that you can see that you can't do it. So you can get that phase of your life over with, and you can say, Jesus, please, please live your life through me. Only you can live your life. You know, I'm just going to be the vessel here, and I'm going to pour you out, and you live it. I can't do it. That's when you get some that's when you get some relief from the performance thing and feeling rejected and rejecting yourself. You really accept your acceptance, like Jesus Christ himself really wants to live inside me and through me, as imperfect as I am. Cool.
I agree. That's great.
I mean, he knows the other way.
Yeah.
Nothing else works.
That's true. It's very true. Very true. But I really, really enjoyed your teaching last week and this week. It's really been great.
What, these were samples from my Tearing Down Personal Strongholds course. If you were able to recognize things in you from hearing this, then maybe this style of teaching will work for you. Because what I try to do is expose how these strongholds talk to you, and they tell you all these lies and put you down and want you to put yourself down and everything. And so if you liked this and you were able to really spot the blocks in your life and get rid of your blind spots, you'll like the Tearing Down Strongholds course, and you can just go to crosswalklife.com to resources and order it on CD or a download. And it changed my life. I got healed of so many things. And did you have a prayer request or anything tonight, Terry?
Well, not really. I'm kind of looking for some confirmation of some things that I've been hearing and just wondering if you're hearing the same thing.
I hear the word release. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will tell Terry how to apply this. But the Lord says, yes, I am releasing you from some things. And there have been some chains, like a ball and chain, that the enemy's wanted to put around your foot and to keep you in this place of ambivalence where you don't know whether to go forward or back up or what. And the Lord says that I'm more practical than you think. And I understand more than you think. And while I'm setting you free from, you know, your own sinful reactions and behaviors, I'm also, though, setting you free from feeling responsible about other people's choices and for all these other things. And the Lord says that I'm just bringing you to a place of being free to be the real you. And it's good. It's good for you to appreciate how I've designed you and who you are. And I don't want you carrying around false responsibility forever and false guilt. And I'm freeing you. I'm doing my hands back and forth like I'm over your head, just breaking off tentacles and lines and things that would hold you down and hold you back. And the Lord says, I'm just breaking that stuff off tonight. And as you do your part and you renounce the lies, I'm doing the supernatural work just to set you free, because I want you to enjoy life and I want you to like you. I want you to know that I not only love and accept you unconditionally, I like you. And I think I did a good job. And the Lord says, I am bringing along new relationships that will be very fulfilling, and I'm giving you permission to enjoy them. And whereas the enemy might say, oh, no, you can't do that. No, 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 you're disqualified. You can't do that. The Lord says, that's not me. That's not me. But I forgive and I forget. When you confess sin, I do wash you white as snow. And so the areas where the enemy has tried to blame you and tried to hold you back, I want you to just receive this word of release tonight and to know that I am opening doors. I am giving you my favor. That's open doors. I'm giving you the grace. That means the ability to walk through them and to fulfill what I've called you to be and do. And you will have those connections, and they will work, and there will be challenges, just like all relationships, but that doesn't mean it's not of me. And the Lord says, you'll have opportunities to express this unconditional love and acceptance, because they will be imperfect people too. But first of all, I want you to accept yourself. Just forgive yourself for any true guilt you had. Certainly let go of the false guilt and responsibility, and just accept yourself and go on. Because the Lord says this is part of how I teach you to preach the real gospel. The real gospel is, while you were enemies, I died for you. The real gospel is, before you ever thought about loving me, I loved you. And then when you express my love and grace to other people, then they hear the real gospel. And because of what you've been through, you can accept the real gospel and appreciate that grace that has to be earned isn't grace. Love that has to be earned isn't love. And tonight I just give you a new mantle for not only understanding, but expressing my unconditional love and acceptance to others. And some of them will know where you hit the rough spots and where you were able to believe me during those times or not. But they're going to know even more then that she walks in God's grace. She knows that God doesn't expect you to live perfectly. And she's able to be God's grace and love to others. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That does give me confirmation on some things, definitely, definitely.
It does.
Definitely. Well, I've been looking for new relationships and just not necessarily with opposite sex. I'm talking about with other friendships and just, you know, things of that nature. And I'm thinking, you know, if God gives it to me, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be awesome. You know, it's going to be, wait a minute, it's going to be human. These are going to be humans,
right. They'll be humans.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that, you know, that does give me some confirmation. So thank you. And
sometimes us prophetic people, too, we tend to see things in black and white. We have to learn. I have to learn to be thankful if I have friends that I agree with even 80% of the time, that that's really great, you know, and not expect so much that nobody can live up to it but Jesus himself. And
amen.
On the other hand, not because of rejection, well, I mean, I won't use past rejection as a reason to compromise my values or God's word or you know, my conviction.
Right.
So the balance is to learn to be yourself, be true to God's truth, and yet to love people like they are.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want your listeners to know that you're the real deal. I am very skeptical of prophets, and you're the first one that I got true confirmation on that you're the real deal. So I want your listeners to know that.
All
and
right.
I'm excited that, you know, the Lord is building in me a great testimony, and I just can't wait to see how it all plays out. You know what I mean?
Great.
So I bless you tonight. So, yeah, I'm going to continue listening tonight. So I bless you.
Okay. Appreciate
and
your
have
prayer.
A good night. Okay.
You too, Terry. Good night.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for real-life testimonies of how you do redeem situations. And even I call it reframing old friendships. Like if you had a mic in your life that destroyed you every time it got a chance, and God gives you another mic that's redemptive, that restores, that has a relationship with God that's awesome. I call that reframing. He's reframed the name Mike. You know, it won't be a constant reminder of the other one. I don't have a bad Mike in my life. I just made that up. But I want to encourage you now, if you've got a comment or a question on this subject or a testimony, or if you'd like to receive prayer or personal prophetic ministry, to push number one. We've got a lot of callers and apparently not that many first-timers tonight, so anybody can push number one right now. And you can call in at 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. And if you get to know me, you'll know if I talk to someone as long as I did Terry just then, it's because nobody else is pushing number one. We always have a lot of callers, but sometimes they're all shy and they don't want to say anything on the air. Okay, so I've got some good standbys here that are not that shy, and here we go. Area code 469, welcome to the program.
Hi, Prophet on that. It's Kanisha.
Hi, Kanisha.
How are you? I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, I moved to Georgia to get the warm weather, and it's going to be 28 this week, but I'll praise the Lord anyway.
Well, it's pretty cold in Texas, too.
That's not really why we moved here, but I just enjoyed murmuring for a minute. Oh, that's a bad example. Okay, Kanisha, what do you want? You have a comment or a question?
I do have a testimony. It was asking about testimonies of God's unconditional love towards us.
Yes.
And this is the Thanksgiving season. Last year, this time, I met a man outside of my family member's home. I met a man who walked up to me, an older guy, and he asked me if I would go into the house and ask my stepfather to take him to the hospital. And so I took him into the house, and my stepfather was asleep. And so my mom asked him what was wrong. He said he was having some problems with his chest. He thought it was indigestion or heartburn, so my mom gave him some Tums or something like that to try to help him through the night. And but I was looking in the man's eyes, and I saw that something was really wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do anything about it. I saw fear in his eyes, and I saw that he was really, something was going on. And I walked out behind him, and one part of me was saying, I'm going to take him to the hospital, and the other side of me was saying, this is a strange man. You don't know him. You don't even know what hospital at, because you're in a whole another state. So
right.
I let the man go home, and he died that night.
Ooh.
And I found out the next day that he was dead, and that hit me so hard. I just felt like, God, how could you forgive me for this? I've done it now. If I've never done it before, this is it. God will never forgive me for this. This is a soul. This is a person. And I knew he needed help, but I didn't help him. Lord, I cried for days and days and just was like, God, this is horrible. And the Lord embraced me in such a way that I never felt ever. The Lord, it was my first time ever feeling his presence in such a strong, weighty way. Throughout the whole year, he embraced me, and he nurtured me, and he loved on me, and he allowed me to use that. It felt like a knife went through my heart, and these words kept coming up in my spirit, a piercing of the heart. And the Lord was showing me that it provoked more compassion in my heart. Well, I will never see another person in need and not help them and not do all that I can do to help them. So that's my testimony of God showing his unconditional love. I messed up big time. I felt like that was the ultimate, like, mess up, because I knew in my heart that the man really needed help, but I didn't act upon what I knew. And so I just wanted to share that, that God loved me beyond that. He loved me unconditionally when I felt like I didn't deserve his love for that. I didn't deserve him to even forgive me for that.
Can I make three comments?
Yes, ma'am.
One is that, no, that's not the ultimate mess up. There's worse. But, you know, I'm sure it was bad. So the other thing is that I identify with you that when you have the biggest temptations to reject yourself, or rejection cycles were at their height, that God stayed with you like that whole year ministering to you. I didn't think to say this tonight, and I'm so, so, so glad you brought it up, that, one time I found out I had been rejected far more severely than I thought. There wasn't any way I could undo it, and God stayed with me for like 9 months after that. It was the richest time of life in terms of God showing me how much he loves me. And so, actually, he's not going to be indebted to us. You know, if somebody does us wrong big time, if we'll turn to him and agree with him, he will really use that time to show us his true love and acceptance. And the other thing was when you said, I will never, miss another opportunity. I will always do everything I can to help someone. I'd like to temper that just a little bit. That is starting to sound like a fleshly inner vow, because there will be times, this is my opinion, but you can consider this important, there will be times when you know how to help somebody or do something for them, I will say, don't do it for them.
Okay.
I want them to trust me, or I've chosen someone else to do it for them. Now, hopefully it won't be life and death again, and you won't go through this again. But there have been many a time, well, say somebody needs some kind of ministry in a room, and as far as I know, I'm the only one experienced in that area. I can presume that God is choosing me, or I can ask the Holy Spirit, are you choosing me out of the people that are here? And he might say, no, you've got the most experience, but I want somebody new to have an opportunity to step out, and I want you to pray for them while they do it. They may not even know for them. But so the trouble with a fleshly inner vow, like I'll do everything I can every time, is that it doesn't give Holy Spirit room. So what we need to say, in my opinion, is Holy Spirit, God willing, I will always be available to do everything I can, but I want to ask you each time if it's my assignment.
Okay.
Because he might choose somebody else. Or in the case of people that say people need to learn responsibility and you can bail them out of their situation, he might say, don't bail them out. I'm trying to get them to turn to me. I don't want you to bail them out.
Yeah. Forgive me, Lord. I take those words back in Jesus' name.
Well, we all tend to, swing the other way. If we didn't do enough, now we're going to do everything.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is just be available to God.
That was one of the worst things I ever experienced, and just didn't ever want to revisit that in a way where somebody's life, in my opinion, somebody's life, even if I took him to the hospital and he died, at least I would have tried, to do something.
Well, and it's tough. A stranger comes to my house wanting me to put him in my car and take him somewhere. That's a tough one. Especially like you're in a strange city, you don't even know if you know how to get there. That is tough. So I hate to see you beating yourself up over that. And the thing that's so hard to understand is God's sovereignty. God knew it would work out that way.
Yeah.
He knew that ahead of time. He let it work out that way. So I don't, I can't understand all the ways of God. But I know that when I fail, he already knew ahead of time that I would fail.
Yes, Lord.
And my personal belief is, so I guess I have 4 points. My personal belief is that my failure doesn't limit God, that if he would already have another plan for that man. My estimation is probably that man's time. Because I can't go through life believing that if Kanisha doesn't obey God, it can mean my death.
Right.
Yeah, I've got to believe God's going to be faithful to me whether Kanisha obeys God or not.
Yes, Lord. And that's confirmation because my brother, my little brother, who's not even living for the Lord. He called me, and he said he found out that I was pretty hurt about it, and he said, Kanish, he said, you don't know how many prayers I prayed, and God used you to, just you talking, God speaks through you and answers my prayers. He said, I believe, and you got to know that if God, if that you hear from him, from the Lord, and if he want, if you needed to do something, it would have been done because God is sovereign, like you said. And it kind of helped me it didn't really help at that moment because I was just like, the man is dead.
Right.
He's dead. There's no coming back from that, you know? But as I took time and just really started to think of all the different reasons why I didn't help, and it went back to rejection. It went back to me not being free in the moment to be myself, not feeling free because I was always intimidated around that part of my family. And so because I'm always trying to help, I got a loving heart, and they do things differently, then I would start to, around them, I wasn't free to be myself. And that had a lot to do also with me saying, just being quiet when I wanted to say, no, we should help him, but I didn't. So, and even that, I had to say, Lord, forgive me, because I can't judge why they didn't respond. All I know is I didn't do anything, and the man died. But it did provoke a greater level of compassion on the inside of me.
Okay. I think I have a fifth comment that's for somebody listening, that sometimes we kick ourselves to death because we didn't think of something like what I should have said, what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way I operate until further notice. If I don't think of something, and I realize it's complicated when you're home with family and you're intimidated around them, and I understand all that too, but if I don't think of something to say or to do, then I don't kick myself 2 days later because I didn't think of it, because I believe, that the Holy Spirit is well able to cause me to think of it if he wants me to think of it. And so I don't kick myself for what I didn't think of saying, I wasn't quick enough on my feet, or I should have called a taxi, or, you know, if it didn't go through my mind, then I don't worry about it because the Holy Spirit is a good communicator. And he could have given me another plan or idea if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if the Holy Spirit is doing everything he can to get me to do something, I'm holding onto the back of the pew and won't repent, my knuckles are turning white, you know, then I know he's trying to convict me and I'm resisting him. But if I just didn't think of it, I don't worry about it. Okay, we've got a couple other callers, so I guess
thank
we better
you so much.
Pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Kanisha's willing heart. I thank you for her family. I thank you for her children. I thank you for the way that you want to pass the generational blessings down to her and through her, and for the way that you're enabling her. I don't know much of anything in the natural, but I just thank you. You say you are enabling her to be a good minister, well-balanced, and to rightly divide your word in truth. And I thank you, Lord, that she's going to help so many people to divide rightly between their soul and their spirit. And the devil won't be able to run them round and round and round forever thinking, I shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yes, Lord.
In a false guilt and false responsibility. And we just break the power of that in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
Break the power of any spirit of grief that would want to stay with her forever and cause her to grieve this death forever. We receive your total forgiveness, Lord, if she have been this. We receive that you were faithful to this man, that you are always faithful. You can't be anything else. And if it was his time, it was his time. I thank you that, if nothing else, he was able to die with a Christian. I mean, whatever you aloud, Lord, I know that you can only act toward us in love.
Yes,
you can't
Lord.
Do it yet. You can only act toward us in love. And we know that we can trust you. We can trust your forgiveness. We can trust your restoration in our own hearts. And
yeah.
that we're learning. You say in Ezekiel that you take us by the arms and you teach us how to walk. And I thank you that you are teaching us how to walk. And I just thank you for the words of knowledge that Kanisha gets. She doesn't have to go just by natural knowledge. She gets words of knowledge from you. And I just thank you, Lord, that you give her words of wisdom and for things that are part of her assignment, that you tell her everything she needs to know at the time she needs to know it. And you don't withhold any good thing from her. And any part of her that would be afraid to trust you in her decisions and judgment and perceptions in the future, I just break the power of that fear of trusting you.
Yes,
that
Lord.
The devil tries to come in saying you can't trust the Holy Spirit to make it clear, and then you're going to be left with guilt and grief like this. I just break the power of that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Most High. And say that we trust you, God, that when we are willing to open our mouths, you fill them. And we have the mind of Christ. And we have Jesus Christ to live through us. And he knows when he wants to be a good Samaritan. And he knows when he wants to let Lazarus die and stay in the grave 4 days. That he works it all out for good.
Thank you.
I just thank you, Lord, that we can trust you to work everything out for good. And that there's nothing that we have done or failed to do that has surprised you.
Mm-hmm.
That you redeem everything. We just thank you and we praise your name that you're our Redeemer. You do all things well. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
So if anybody's holding on to false guilt or false responsibility, I want you to let go of it. Let Jesus bring it to death on the cross. And if you were really guilty, really responsible, let go of that too. Ask him to forgive and receive that forgiveness. He died on the cross and shed his blood so you could be totally forgiven. Now receive it. Don't waste it. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you.
Thank you so much for your ministry.
Sweet dreams.
You too. Be blessed and warm.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just praise your name that we just can't mess up too bad to throw you off. You know, we just can't. You know everything ahead of time. You're all powerful. You can fix anything. You can be everywhere at once, and you can do what's best for everybody at the same time. Thank you, Lord. You work around our mistakes, and you choose to use imperfect people because that's all you got to choose from. Area code 201, thank you. Amina, welcome to the program. Area code 201.
Hello?
Yes, who am I here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, what's your name, please?
Good morning. Good night, Carlotta. How you doing? My name is Jonathan.
Okay, Jonathan, where are you from?
I'm calling you from the East Coast, from New York. I spoke to you about a month ago or so.
Uh-huh.
I just want to give a testimony. And the testimony was that about a week before I called you, I said, you know, God purposed it put in my heart to give an online gift to your ministry and sow into your ministry, and it was just something that was touched my heart. I don't know why. I think it was tied to the scripture where the hundredfold scripture.
Oh.
And about a week later, I had a dream, and in the dream, I was able to in the dream I went to a bank, and it was horrible outside, and I was happy, and I was on the phone, and You know, and the guy at the cash register didn't give me, I cashed a check in the dream, and I went back and I said, hey, you didn't give me my right amount. And the fella said, oh, I'm sorry, I shorted you $100, and he gave me $100 extra. That was in the dream. And you know, the phone being connected with God. And then when you spoke to me and you gave me some prophetic words about 2 weeks ago, and in one of the, you know, in the prophetic word, I won't read the entire prophecy, but one of the things you told me was that you will never lay anything down but what I don't reward you 100-fold, and I will never be indebted to you. I will make it worth it to you if not right now, in the long run. I think you gave me those words. And after that, you know, those words you gave me, things at work in my business just skyrocketed. And this is a slow season for everybody else. So I just want to let all the listeners know that your ministry is good soil to sow seed into.
Thank you. Well, you're doing it for me, because one of my weaknesses, it's very hard for me to ask for offerings or donations or to talk about money. I don't know why. I hope I don't have a poverty spirit, but it's just hard for me. I think I just get tired of hearing it every program I tune into, and they take 3 offerings in 30 minutes. But I appreciate it, because I actually believe that I'm cheating people kind of when I do that, because see, when we let people give to us, we're not hurting them. You know, we're giving them an opportunity. I mean, I was a cheerful sower when I was in ministry training school. I volunteered my time, for instance, for 4 ministries during that time, and I got part of my education, you know, from serving them and seeing how things really work and all that valuable experience. And so I learned, you know, when you give to other people, you're not only blessing God and blessing them, you're doing yourself a favor. So I'm glad
you're
that
feeding,
works out.
You're feeding a lot of folks and a lot of ministries and a lot of folks that eventually will have ministries through what you do every Monday night and through your Facebook page, your website, and you know, that's obviously, you know, we have to you know, the scripture, what does the scripture say? That every laborer is worthy of his salary, right? So you're laboring very hard, and mm-hmm. you're it's definitely a good soil to seed into. And every message, every week that you have had a message has been something that has been very close to my heart, even today. And I say to myself, God, this can't possibly be. Every single message touches me so perfectly. And I say, how is this that it happens? But I guess God knows how to play chess very well and put us in the right place at the right time, huh?
Yes, he does. And also, the thing is, when you have an opportunity like I do to work with real people all the time, you learn we're pretty much all alike. Sooner or later, we all have to deal with some of the same things, like rejection. Nobody gets all the way through their life without any rejection. And so it's hard for me to miss, because as long as I keep addressing the things that most people have, you know. But here's the thing, that I'll say this. God gave me a dream a few years ago, Jonathan. And it was probably, I was trying to think what year it was. It was after I had an accident that I was recovering from, and I was like forced to build Now Faith TV Ministry Training School online. I was forced to start recording videos and audios at home while I was in that recovery period, but God worked that out for good. See, I couldn't travel so much, but I could record things. And so he used that, kind of like when Apostle Paul was in prison, in that house arrest, he wrote the New Testament practically. You know, he wrote like half of it. I don't know how many books it is, but it's a lot of it. And God used that in his life. Well, God gave me this dream to let me know that I wasn't missing it, because I hadn't really done a lot of video before that time. And God gave me this dream that there was a USB cord. For those of you that don't know, that's the cord that you use to, like, transfer things from the computer to a thumb drive or another computer or a recording device, back and forth, whatever. Anyway, I dreamed that there was a USB cord that was going from God's heart, which was one with my heart, and it was going out toward the earth, and there were prongs on the end of it, like on a rake. And everywhere where one of these prongs touched earth, there were explosions of his love and power. And God was saying to me that you're on the right track. I'm using this time where you're slowed down here to motivate you to share things in a way that can reach the whole planet instead of just a local congregation or a local college. And God does that. He uses, if you're willing to sow, and if you sow where God tells you to sow and you sow believing, then he can multiply it. And God was saying, there's explosions of my love and power all around the earth. And even though you feel like you're just teaching a small group of people, you know, at Crosswalk Life, you're not really when you put it on video and audio.
Right.
So he gave me the vision. And now there's thousands of people that will hear this conversation, and there's many other thousands. And the reason I'm belaboring this is I want to encourage, since Jonathan brought it up again, I want to encourage everybody that's listening to ask God how you can make long-term investments. I'm not talking about offering to me. I'm talking about believing that God wants to sow into the earth through you. And while you may think what you do for the kingdom is insignificant, it doesn't matter whether it's up front, behind the scenes, supportive, leading, you know, it doesn't matter. If you'll do what God wants you to do, then he'll give you that same promise. I'm going to cause it to be explosions all around the earth. I'm going to multiply it in ways that you can't imagine.
That is correct.
It doesn't matter if you've been rejected a lot and all. Just let God heal it and get on with sharing his love and acceptance with others, however you do it. I mean, if you're a printer, then print it. You know, if you're a writer, write it. If you're a server, serve it, but get on with it.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Thank
you,
Lord.
Well, today's message was very interesting, Carlotta, in that rejection is what brought me to Christ. I was rejected years ago in a relationship, and you know, I found no help but through Jesus Christ only. So it's been a difficult 3 years, and we're here now, and I believe this is probably my season of healing many wounds over that took years, and that's it. If you can pray for me and see what the Spirit says, and God bless you, Carla.
I'm hearing James 5, 16 or something, that says, as you pray for one another, you yourselves are healed. And the Lord says, you're already on the right track. I just see you praying for other people, encouraging them, you know, sowing seeds of affirmation and appreciation into other people, giving them vision, helping them to see that they can accomplish their vision and mission as they learn to let me live through them. The Lord says, as you pray for others, you yourself are healed. And you've seen it, and I want to encourage you even more. Encourage them to minister to people that are that I bring across their path or less fortunate than them. There's always people that know less than you. They're everywhere. And even if they think they know a lot, there's always some word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or something that I can say through you. And the Lord says, you have just found one of the keys, and just keep passing it on, passing it forward, that as you pour out to others, you yourself are healed. As you share who Christ is, you understand and know me better. As you share why I came, why I died, then you understand and appreciate the gospel. You're so blessed. You will have unlimited joy as you share with people why they need me. It's not by seeking joy. It's not by seeking happiness or success. It's as you share why people need a Savior and why they need me. your joy will be unlimited. And the Lord says, I'm just causing you to fall in love with me. You've loved me, you've served me, you loved people. But as you share those things more and more, you are going to have that grin on your face that people have, you know, when they fall in love. And you kind of know they have because they can't stop smiling and they're always thinking about that person. Well, the Lord says, as you keep sowing these things, I will enable you to fall in love with me like you never have before, and you're not going to have to question. You're not going to have to look back. You're not going to be like desperate for another relationship or anything, because you're going to be so in love with me, you're going to say, praise God, this is what they were trying to tell me, that being in love with Jesus is like the key to everything. Thank you, Lord. Bless him. Bless him, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, you can send me a picture of you grinning, okay?
Okay, amen. Thanks for everything.
All right. Be blessed. Bye-bye. Thank you, Lord. That's what I want for everybody, actually, to be in love. In love with Jesus. It's like once you get that, I call it reckless abandon. One pastor corrected me. He didn't like that phrase, reckless abandon. But, you know, when you're in love with Jesus, you kind of let the wall. I mean, when you're in love with somebody, you let the walls down. You start seeing the whole world in an optimistic way. The colors are brighter. The sounds are clearer. The music's more beautiful. And I just impart that. Just impart that from the Holy Spirit to you tonight, that you will just really be able to fall in love with Jesus. And all the things that you thought were so important will look pale and compare, I'm telling you. It's awesome. Okay, let's see who else we have on the line. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, it's Patricia in Los Angeles. And well, I enjoyed the teaching very much. It spoke to me, and also being a person with rejection cycles and should have, could have, would have, just a comment that came up with the dear intercessor and woman with such a kind heart. We really don't know what would have happened if we did something differently.
Right.
We can think, but even so, you know, I know she assumed, well, if I'd taken him, even if he died, but, you know, something bad could have happened getting there. We don't know. Person was, but God knows. And God, you know, and I do that too. Oh, what's the word? What's the word? Is it this? Is it that? Is it go? Is it not go? But I just think we just trust the Holy Spirit to give us a 100% no holds bars. That's just what we do. And
okay,
we're open to him, and he will do that. And I think in parts of my life where I struggle so, which I think are where some of these things, I can worry, I can think, I can seek God, try to hear his voice, but get in the way. And then in some other areas of my life that I'm not even thinking about, but I know I have need, you know, it's there. God just miraculously comes in and makes things work out because I've turned it over to him, and I really have completely turned it over to him. So I try to remind myself of that in those areas where I still have struggle, of the way God has, not through my effort at all, but me just giving it to him, made people or circumstances come together almost in spite of myself at times.
Right, right, right. Good word, good word. And you know, one thing I don't think I mentioned enough that that I really can't stand is when the enemy picks on people that have truly been rejected or abused all their life, and then he tries to tell them it's your fault. You know, blame yourself. You should have done more for yourself. Or even though you weighed 42 and somebody's abusing you every night, you should have been able to get away. You know, stupid stuff like that.
Well, and my circumstance is not that circumstance, but I think that speaks very much to me. We could, and I can say it to really internalize it in the at the time, or looking back. You should have done more. You should have. You could have. It's your fault. That's a wonderful word. God's in charge. God's doing it.
God knows we're all imperfect, and he knows that some things we're just going to learn the hard way. Now, I was the queen of learning the hard way. You don't have to go to that extreme. But, you know, it took me 20 years to really repent and get back on track with God. But he was there.
One thing that spoke to me very much, somehow it created mind shift, I hope it did for others, when you said, you know, not false guilt, but also, and if you were guilty, God forgives you too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we have to accept that forgiveness.
Right.
Humble ourselves to accept that.
God convicted me of trying to justify myself, because it's hard sometimes not to be defensive, not to say coulda, woulda, shoulda, or to try to explain it away to people or make excuses or give reasons and all of that and just say, I blew it. But I was trying to justify myself. I was hoping to be vindicated, justified, exonerated, something. And God finally just cornered me one night, and he said, if you keep on trying to justify yourself, you're not accepting my justification. I thought, really? He said, no, you can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you can't focus on the fact that you were rejected and focus on the fact that you're unconditionally accepted at the same time. It may be a fact. It may be a fact that you're rejected, but sooner or later you're going to have to let go of that focus in order to have a focus on being unconditionally accepted by God.
Something that happened doesn't have to be the expectation.
Right. We need to expect
God's work.
Yeah, expect God's truth in spite of the situation or the facts. You know, my situation is not my future. My circumstances is not who I am. My past is not who I am. So no matter what the facts of the past are, God has spoken much better for me. You know, and start declaring it. In the Strongholds course, I've got several pages of verses that go with this. You don't just listen to the teaching. You learn how to declare God's truth and turn things around.
Well, and since you've mentioned strongholds, I'm sure there are, you know, God's ways are his ways. And maybe some instant deliverance on everything, knowledge about everything, but others don't. And God is loving and true to show a way. And I think dealing with strongholds so important. I'd prayed and prayed earnestly and wanted God's will and given up, you know, I guess idols I'd put on the altars or my wishes, but I needed other knowledge. And God did finally bring that to me. And process he chose for me.
Amen. Well, there's more process to come, Patricia. I just hear the Lord saying that if you will accept this mission, if you'll accept this mission, I have called you to be part of my special ops. And I've prepared you, and the enemy has coveted and coveted you to be his special ops. But the Lord said, if you'll accept this mission, there's advanced training that you'll need. Just as like a 007 can't learn to be the best spy on earth, you know, from a book. He has to have real training, real experience, be in real situations, not to be punished, but to become the best. And the Lord says, I have called you to be special ops and to have extra discernment. And I've allowed you to have many, many, many experiences, a variety of them, with the upper and outers, the down and outers, the whole gamut, so that when you, to me, and say, God, you know, I choose to function out of your discernment, Christ in me, your discernment, then you can have incredible discernment and words of knowledge and wisdom to go with them. And the Lord says, not only is payback going to be hell for the devil, but I have called you for my kingdom's sake to help establish my kingdom on earth. And while the enemy has his own plans, his own order that he wants, and he's making fast progress toward it, the Lord says, I have also been raising up an army, and I am offering to you and many others advanced training to be special ops. And you've allowed me to expand your heart in so many ways and to have a heart for people that go through things that other people don't even want to know anything about. And the Lord says, I'm speaking to you in more ways than you know. I'm teaching you not only how to hear my voice, I'm giving you pictures, I'm giving you slideshows, I'm giving you like videos, dreams, and visions. I'm speaking to you in more ways than you know to make you more aware of my concerns on the earth and what I want you to pray about, and so that you'll stand in the gap with me, but also more aware of the strategies of the enemy and how he battles me for people's minds, and he battles me for their hearts, and he battles me wanting to build strongholds in their lives, whereas I want to strengthen you so that you can tear down strongholds. And the Lord says, I want you to know that I'm willing to bring you to a place where you're not limited by geography, by plane tickets, by time. I want to bring you to a place where you will function in the fifth dimension, where you know how unlimited I am, but you also know how unlimited I can be through you. And it won't matter if you're on the same continent or not. If you agree with me in prayer, you'll know it's a done deal. And it won't matter if there seems to be enough time or space or not, because I'm the Lord of all those things. All I need is for you to realize just how powerful I am through you and to agree with me on every little thing, whether you know the importance of it or not. Agree with me on every little thing. And the Lord says, in order to be like this 007 special ops, you're going to have to lay down some of the things that are normal life to other people. Not everything, but there'll be times when you'll know, well, I can't get all tangled up in that because that's the opposite, you know. That's the opposite of being in special ops. But the Lord says it's going to be way worth it. It's going to be awesome. And I'm not forcing you. I'm not rushing you. I've got training for you to go through. But I want you to know the Lord says it's no bland future that I have planned for you.
Accept that, all of it. Particularly, I love the tearing down all the strongholds. So, you know, amen to that. And thank
you,
and I'll let another caller get on and learn from their comments as well.
Okay,
thanks
for calling. Be blessed.
Woo.
You know, sometimes we have no idea the prayers that we pray, where God's applying it around the earth, how he's multiplying it, the lives that are saved, the hearts that are healed, the bodies that are free, you know, from the chains and the strongholds that have been holding them back. Oh, my gosh, we have no idea. I think heaven's going to be so, so awesome. I don't know if we're going to be up there for 7 hours, 7 days, whether it's mostly the millennium here ruling and reigning with him. I don't know all that. I just know it's going to be awesome when God shows us the people that have been blessed. Blessed. Keep sowing the seeds, brethren. Just keep sowing them. Area code 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan from Florida.
Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Did you have anything to share?
Oh, I'm sure I do. The subject of rejection, yeah, it's been really big in my life, and a lot of the things you were talking about in the teaching and with some of the other callers, I've even been sharing with others the last day or two. So, but God is good because I was saying, you know, it's like we're objects of mercy. And our past, yeah, our past doesn't matter. And he's really beginning, not beginning, he's putting punctuation marks on it. Like, do you understand the reason you've been rejected so much? I mean, I'm sure he's still healing the fruit, but it's because of the very thing that the enemy's so afraid of in all of us, and that's God in us, the hope of glory. So I'm just experiencing a lot more healing personally, and that love thing and hope renewed, and, you know, self-forgiveness is so important because the lies of the enemy, for me, seem to hold on to that part of it more than anything.
Okay.
And, but I have been, you know, able to be helping others, too, as I'm going through my healing, and he shows me things. It's almost like within a day or a week or whatever, I can share that with somebody else. And the future that he has for us, and like you said, the influence, our prayers, our ministry, whatever it is, I think for most of us, it's bigger than what we can even fathom. It's because he is bigger. And, you know, if the enemy could have succeeded in having us all just dealing with our wounds forever, I'm sure
right.
he would have loved that, but he's under judgment and he can't do that anymore. And I'm still dealing with some fruit of some of that. I see it, though. I see it very clearly. But I feel his love just saying, are you ready to just totally
yeah.
shift out of that? Like the
okay.
things that have taken years, they're going to be suddenlies now. And it's not going to be the same forever. And that hope, forgetting those things which are behind and the pain of it, because rejection is painful.
Yeah.
But God is sovereign and he can bring, what's the word, like pearls out of all of that. That's the pearl. So
yeah, the pearl's created from irritation in the shell.
Great irritation. Great. And the thing is if the enemy could try to rob you of your identity for so long, but the strongholds are just falling down now. It's wonderful. And, I feel like part of what he's doing with me is saying, I want you to talk to other Christians, you know, those that maybe have been anointed and gifted, but there's something in the area of identity that's a real big part of that message, and rejection is just the opposite of that.
Okay,
the acceptance
and the you just mm-hmm. hit the vein, so let me minister to that. That's what I'm getting.
Okay.
I hear the Lord saying, Jan, I have called you in part to minister to ministers who aren't able to believe what they're preaching. And they try to preach a gospel of love and acceptance, but they haven't been able to receive it themselves. Mm. And when I allow situations to come up, then they can see it, but sometimes they don't even know it. So the situations are a help, actually. And I've called you to minister to ministers or people who are called to ministry, which is like everybody, who are not able to accept their acceptance. It's no accident that you heard this tonight. And it seems elusive to them. And a lot of people, they're not trying to be hypocrites and preaching something they can't do. They just believe that everybody does the best they can. I know their hearts, the Lord says. I know they want to believe me, but they don't kind of like I was prophesying to these gentlemen, they aren't really in love with me because they still don't get it, how much I really accept them as they are and love them too much to leave them the way they are. But the Lord says, I just called you to that you're going to ask me for downloads into your own mind and heart on this, and I'm going to give it, and you're going to be able to speak it forth, not only with a clarity, but I don't want you to feel a burden of saying it just right. I'm going to give you the ability to just lay hands on people and to impart to them a gift of impartation that they'll be able to accept their love and acceptance in me, and as you said, be able to get on with their life, because the enemy would have them hamstrung or chained or held back, rejecting themselves, feeling rejected, rejecting me, or feeling like I reject them. And he would have them live in this false identity forever.
Mm-hmm.
And even to think that it's presumptuous or self-righteous to think, oh, I'm the one that's totally forgiven and totally accepted and totally loved perfectly and everything. And they would think that that is pride or something, and it's not. It's believing my word. But I'm putting in your hands, even tonight, ability to lay hands on people and to impart a hunger for understanding of my love and acceptance, and of course I'll respond. Okay?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Could I ask just for prayer for one small part of that too? Because it's something that hit me when you were going through some of the, I guess you call them fruits or points or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's secondary, but areas, not just of gifting as in Holy Spirit gifting for ministry, but creative gifts, talents. I identify that there's been almost like a very negative feeling on that, and I would just do things, you know, full on, but then it would come to nothing. And that does happen sometimes in church and ministry-related things still. And I said, Lord, I don't want anything in me or in the spirit around me attracting that anymore. But even just creativity, I'd like to break that cycle. I'm talking about, you know, how can I say creativity, which isn't really limited to any one area, but, you know, more creative things, artistic writing, art, beauty, music, whatever. I feel like that's one area, too, that the Lord wants to just restore in me completely.
Yeah. And here's kind of a weird way that I believe about prayer. I don't even, we need to say it again. I believe you put those desires in your heart. You're praying them back to him. And to me,
yeah,
that's why we know that our prayers are answered, because he says, pray this, we pray it, we know it's going
right
to be answered because that's the idea.
Yes.
So I just agree with you there.
Agreed.
And we thank you, Lord, for all kinds of creative ways of ministry. But I don't know, I just heard the Lord saying you're often going to see this common vein, that you'll realize, well, there's another one that finally got the download that they really are loved and accepted, and they're going to have a lot of free time now because they don't have to spend their time trying to earn it. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
Well,
oh, wow.
Be cut off here, so I'm going to let you go. Bless you with God dreams and new visions. And thank you. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I hope that if you, if I didn't get to you tonight, you'll call in earlier next week. Don't wait till the end. That's the reason that I talk to some people so long is because nobody else has pushed number one yet, and then about 10 till everybody pushes it. But we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're a good God. You can only act toward us in love. Only. Thank you for that, Lord. I just pray for your impartation of that tonight. Impartation, that people will understand that. in their, not just their mind, but in their heart. I thank you that they'll invite a friend to join us next week, that they will go to crosswalklife.com and use the search box and find articles on acceptance and love and just press in to receive this. So go to nowfaith.tv, do the same thing, use the search box, join up. It's free. You know, start attending the school. Be our friend on Facebook so that you can learn. You can hear the next set of posts. I hope you'll subscribe and post comments and let other people know that this is real and you are receiving and you do believe. Thank you for it. Just thank you, Lord. And if you care to donate, if you'll go to the bottom of any page, crosswalklife.com.
I could have fortune and fame, go anywhere, do anything, but oh God, I just want you. I could search for earthly things to satisfy my every need. Oh God, I just want you. I just want you. Every day I just want